If you remember your Old Testament history, time and time again, the people of Israel, God's chosen nation, forgot about God. They did it an awful lot. That's what got them in trouble way back in the days of Abraham. And then the people had gone down to Egypt. And while in Egypt and everything went so wonderful, they kind of forgot about God. And then they end up as slaves to the Egyptians. And they would cry out to God, enough already. But they really were just looking for a quick escape. And when their hearts, and God knew when this time was right, when their hearts were repentant, God sent Moses to bring them out of Egypt. And in doing so, they crossed the waters, actually the dry ground, at the Red Sea, because the waters divided. It was a miracle. And they walked through, and after they got to the other side, the waters came back, and the Egyptian soldiers who had followed them, trying to catch them and bring them back as slaves, they drowned. Because they had followed them on that dry ground, and the waters washed them away. Well, you think they would have learned their lesson, but then it happened again and again. And God used different ways to draw their attention that their life was not safe without God, that there were no blessings apart from God. And that when you set your life course in a different direction than God encourages you to do, you will end up in trouble. So Isaiah's been talking about what is yet to come. We know it as the Babylonian captivity. And there the people in Judea and Galilee and Jerusalem and all of that, they had become so arrogant. And they worshiped false gods. And several prophets said, don't do this. It will be to your detriment, to your harm. So you know what the people sounded like? In answering God's challenge to them, they sounded like people today. They went through the blame game because in those days there was corruption in the royal palaces. The kings were not following God. And in our day, when presidents and Congress and the rulers of nations around the world don't follow God, people say it's the government's fault. Have you heard those words? It's the government's fault. It's not my fault that I'm behaving badly or poorly. It's their fault. If they did their job, I wouldn't be rebelling against God. Well, if they weren't going to be specific, they would turn around and they would say, well, it's the culture's fault. If we didn't have all these false gods to pick from and confuse us and distract us, it's the culture's fault. And the pressure of society around us, oh, it's overwhelming. You just don't know what it's like to be us. Boy, that sounds familiar too, doesn't it? And on the list went. They would dump the responsibility, and it's called externals, on the things outside of us. And then the prophets got very personal. And they talked about the heart and the mind. And when it came to the heart and the mind, the same things were said back then that we hear today. Nobody taught me. Or, I have a mind of my own. And my ability to think brings into question what you're saying. And my mind questions the realness of the God, because in my brain, your God that you've been talking about, that's foolish, or that's a myth. You can't prove it. And in our world today, we hear the same kind of news. So Isaiah warned the people, and the scriptures have been warning us. Don't behave this way. And when life came crashing down on them, Isaiah pointed that there would be a time of repentance, renewal, and restoration. And the reason is because God is real. So you have these first few verses in chapter 43. They're on the back of your bulletin. And it tells us again about how awesome and how great our God is. The God who created the world is the God who created and formed you, established your days, and set you in place for his purpose. The God who created the world, the stars, the planets, and everything else has the power to set your life on course, and he asks us to follow the path. And then he gives us words of encouragement of what that path means. When you follow God, it will be like the days of Moses and going across the Red Sea in times of chaos, destruction, and fear and threats, and God delivers us. It'll be like the times, excuse me, when the people of Israel came out of the wilderness and crossed the Jordan River, and again the waters divided, and the people went across to take possession of the Holy Land. And they walked across, and then they came down the Fertile Crescent down to the land of Judah. And God preserved them against the nations that were in that area, and they overcame their enemies. It'll be like the time now that's forthcoming in the days of Isaiah that he's prophesying, that God will bring the people out of captivity of Babylon back to Jerusalem, to the holy city, and he will restore them. And he says in the scriptures that God does not forget his promises, and God does not forget his covenants, and God does not forget his people. And then he makes it personal. God does not forget you. In our world today, we act just like the sinful nature and the people of old times. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And we are good at casting blame outside of ourselves for the problems in our own life. Now, that doesn't mean that indeed people are not made victims by violence, by scams, and all kinds of trickery. And those aren't necessarily the individual's fault. But it does mean that when it comes to our walk with God, we find all kinds of excuses why we don't do what we're supposed to do. And you can pick any topic among us. So instead of picking on you, I will pick on myself. I am now a type 2 diabetic. And as you know, in fact, we were talking about this yesterday, I love chocolate. I don't worship it, but I certainly do like it. Now, if you don't like chocolate, this doesn't make sense to you, and I'm okay with that, because that means more for me. There's a method to my crazy thinking. But there's a consequence when I start eating chocolate, my blood sugar, glucose level, goes up. because my body doesn't handle that well. And there's a consequence when we stop doing what God has asked of us to do, when we stop doing that which Christ has called us to do, when we stop living in Christ and find that we want to live life our own way, there are consequences. And so when we are selfish, then relationships fall apart. When we are self-centered, then our walk with God is no longer about God. What can we do for God? But it's more like, God, what are you going to do for me now? Huh? If you want me to believe in you, if you want me to worship with you, if you want me to pray to you, you got to help me out and you got to fix this. And when we have that kind of sinful spiritual arrogance, we have problems in life. The good news is about God. And God's focus on you. And because it's such an awesome message, we focus by faith on God. We learn that it doesn't help not to follow the rules. It doesn't help to live for selfishness and reasons of just my own conceit. It doesn't help when we turn away from God's wisdom. We often make the mess bigger than we have in the past. You ever tried to control your tongue? You ever tried to stop those words from coming out? You ever said, I will keep my mouth shut? How long does that last? You know, you ever said, I will not get angry at the next family gathering when Uncle Bill and Joe and whoever and Aunt Martha, they drive me nuts, you know, and I will be calm. When we try to do things by our own power, by our own will, by our own strength, we fail. The message of the gospel is that our salvation isn't about ourselves, it is about God. The one who has the power to create, the one who has the knowledge to know you personally, and you cannot get outside of his knowledge and his awareness, is the same one who has the power to sustain and equip and to guide and to lead his people. And time again, when the people of Israel discovered that there was no other way for hope and for life and salvation, they turned to God. But it was only after all the other avenues failed. And boy, did that take a while to learn. In the wanderings, for example, in the wilderness, they were there 40 years. That's a long time to learn a lesson. For you and I, as we come to the scriptures and we look at what God has done, we are reminded that it doesn't have to take us 40 years. And it doesn't have to take us to be enslaved. It doesn't have to mean that we are going to be captive. But by the power of the word of God, by the promises of God, we have something that we do not want to turn away from because he alone rules the universe. So what hinders us from holding on to that is our own kinds of doubt. We listen to science, and when the voices of science, not all of them say it, but when the voices of science say, you know, God didn't do this. When the voices of religions of the world say, that's only one answer, one possible answer. There are many gods. When the voices of philosophy and thinking and human mind capability, we find that there are other tantalizing notions as seductive to us in our mind as chocolate is to my mouth. And we turn away from God to make it simple, if you've ever gone to eat at a restaurant and you were gonna try something new and you saw it come out on a plate for another restaurant participant that day, you said, that looks good, I think I'll try that. And you ordered it. And you thought you were gonna die. You know your thinking isn't always right on target. You know your passions can lead you into trouble. You know the foolishness of the world around us is just that. It's not so smart. And what Isaiah calls us to do is to believe and hold on, because God is holding on to you. He doesn't need the photographs to remember your name. He knows you inside and out, head to toe, and he knows you all your days. He doesn't need all the science and the computer technology of the world. He knows already all the wisdom of the universe. And he knows what helps us, and he's already provided it. Isaiah the prophet was giving the people in crisis a hope. And whatever your life is like, and you may feel at times it's in crisis, whether it's COVID or the financial markets or your insurance, health insurance, not doing what you think it needs, or anything else that can go on. Each of us has an opportunity to keep our eyes on our Father in heaven. We have the opportunity to know that apart from him, there is no life and there is no salvation and there is no hope. The things of this world will come and go and fade away. I mean, who still has a rotary phone? You know, who's still using a dial-up for your internet connection? You know, who's still using, you know, just the stovetop and the oven? But now we have toaster ovens and microwaves and all of that. We laugh at people who stay in ancient methodology, but I have news for you. If you turn away from God, that's exactly what you're doing. You're going back to the old ways of doing things, the old sinful nature ways. And God calls us to a new life in him. So people of God, listen to God. The prophet tells you that God watches over you, has a plan for you, and your purpose, you do have purpose, is to give him glory. And your identity is not by your name, but by his name in whom you live. If you're bummed out because your life didn't go the way you thought it would, or you didn't reach the success that you thought you would grab, just know this, that you are precious in the eyes of God, and there's nothing that you can do to add to how precious you are. For Christ died for you. His body and blood was given for you. And he has prepared a place for you. So when you look at one another, you look at yourself in the mirror in that reflection, and you go, you are special, and you say to each other, you are special, it's because God has declared it so. And with that, we don't have to lose heart. We don't have to blame the government and the culture and society. We just get to look to God, who's looking at us now and forever. Amen.